Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 7 p.m. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We are bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by complete obedience to the Word of God. You do not have to understand everything in order to obey. Now, obedience is not something you have to process and figure out what to do. No, it's an action that you present or do in that instance. We see stop signs. It says stop. You read the word, you saw the red, and you stop. You didn't have to process it. You didn't have to think about it. You did it because that was the order. We should do the same thing when it comes to God. When God says stop, we ought to stop. It doesn't matter how we feel. Doesn't matter what we're dealing with, because all of us are going to feel a certain way, and we're all going to deal with things. That is just part of life. And so with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love and mercy. This is the day that you've made, and we thank you and appreciate the present that you have given us. Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord God, during this time of meditation, exhortation, Lord, the presentation of your word. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. Ask that you would touch those that are sick in their body. Lord God, those that are obedient, ask that you would bless them. Bless them, Lord God. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to remind you that May 30th, 31st, and June 1st will be here before you know it, and we're going to be celebrating, really looking forward to celebrating and having a wonderful time in Christ, having a service, Southern Cal or SoCal Pentecost 2024, and it's the sole purpose is to magnify the Lord. So I want to give some instructions here as the days are approaching quickly, and they'll be here before we know it, as long as the Lord say the same. Now, if he changes it, the course of everything, then I want to advise you tonight, save yourself from this untorn generation. Yes, save yourself. You know, the Lord told Peter and John to go to the temple and tell the people about this life. And I still cannot help but seek into that so much. There's so much there in those a few words about the tell the people about this life, not the life that people are presenting, bashing, hanging out dirty laundry and beating up and all this other stuff. That's not the gospel. I'm talking about the gospel that prepares you for eternity, that ushers you into the presence of the Lord where you remain there. And so with that being said, let's prepare our hearts. Visit connectingtruth.org. That is connectingtruth.org for more information. And you'll find some of the posting there. You'll find the Lord is blessed. And, you know, and of course, the church is not a entertainment industry. It's not part of the entertainment industry. Neither is it a business to fatten anyone's pockets. It is about the saving of your soul. But even to that, lights must stay on. Buildings are built, maintained, and just like your home, it's no different than maintaining your home, therefore you fully understand. And so you'll find on our website, connectingtruth.org, methods of what we're doing and how to do that. And the Lord is blessing and open up opportunities. So I solicit your prayers as we go forward in building and doing a work for the Lord. Now, please make note of what I'm about to say. I know you've been making notes, but make note of this. We will be consecrating. See, this is March, so I'm going to be announcing this for throughout the month. We're going to be consecrating May 1st through the 30th. May 1st through the 30th. And see, I want to get this out there now so that you can prepare your hearts to do this. Now, this consecration, you do not eat any meat, fried, baked, boiled, broiled, or raw. Do not eat any meat. That's May 30th through 31st. Do not eat any meat. Now, everyone in your home should be consecrating. If you're going to consecrate everyone, well, babies don't listen. Don't. First of all, babies are not eating meat, no way. And your 10-year-old, and they can consecrate as well. And that is Bible. Did you know that in the book of Jonah, when Jonah came and delivered the word that God wanted him to deliver, that everyone had to fast? Even the animals were fasting on that day. They wanted a reaction from God, and everyone fasted. We want God to bless in such a way. Now, if your wife or your husband is not saved and they choose not to join in the consecration, you know, fix them their food and fix them a good meal. But use some wisdom and entreat them. Ask them if they would please consecrate with you. And you should be sweeter than the pie that you bake them if they should yield and consecrate with you. We're entreating the Lord. And so in entreating him, we're not asking the Lord to bless us with money, honey, house, or car. Not asking him to do those things. This is about him blessing our souls. People need deliverance. Gifts need to be stirred up again. People need to be encouraged. People need to be busy about God's business. Now, if you follow what I'm saying, if you do what I'm asking, don't ask the Lord to bless you with money. That's not what the consecration is for. Don't ask him to bless you with honey. That's not what the consecration is for. Don't ask him to bless you with a house or a car. That's not what the consecration is for. God knows what you have need of. He knows what your household has need of. Just be obedient to what I'm asking. I'm not asking you for nothing but your faithfulness and consecration unto God. Now, let me help someone out here. When Daniel and the brethren that was with him consecrated, they did not ask God for anything. And he provided what they needed. Let's have faith in God and walk with this assurance that he will. Because of the obedience, because of the sincereness, because of the consecration, he will. Now, your children will be experiencing the same withdrawal as you. But do not cave. Mom, I want a chicken leg. No, don't cave, baby. We're consecrating. Listen, make them some mac and cheese. Make them some dressing, some greens. Throw some cranberry sauce on the plate. And don't forget the yams. Make some yams. And please don't forget the gravy. You need the gravy to go on the dressing. But do not make any meat. Matter of fact, during the month of May, May 1st through the 30th, don't even buy meat during this consecration. That way you're not tempted. Go ahead and order that pizza, but make it a veggie lover, not a meat lover. All right, let us magnify the Lord, and God will send a great blessing. That's what we're looking for, the Lord to send a great blessing, standing on his word. Now, we're in the book of Genesis touching the law. And the universe, earth, man, and spirit, we're touching the cause and the, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, all it takes is one person. All it takes is one. God is concerned about the one. He's concerned about the one soul. He's concerned about the one that's obedient. God is concerned about the one. Where others are concerned about the masses, God is he's not concerned about the masses. Matter of fact, the masses is going to, according to the scripture and what Jesus ministered, few there be saved. All right, few there be that find the straight and narrow, but broad is the way. God is concerned about the few, the few. Now, all right, we're in the book of Genesis touching the law of the universe, earth, man, and spirit. We're touching the cause and design of all things, that is God himself. The thought this evening is immediate gratification. The weight of it. The weight of it. Immediate gratification. Now, Sunday, I was in double, what we call double duty, meaning preaching or exhorting two different services. And I mentioned Hebrews 12 and 1 several times in the different services. Now, ministers, you know that you might be finished with the message, but the message is not finished with you. And so you go on, everybody else, the benediction has been given and everybody's gone their way. And you trying to relax, maybe you're out eating or at home, just sitting back. But the message is still ringing because it's not finished with you. And so as I began to think about a Bible class, this scripture reappeared as I laid in bed listening to Genesis 25. Now, there are different types of weights. Some are good weights and others are not good. The weights at the gym are good. They're good. Matter of fact, did you know that if you're lifting weights and you're exercising your muscles, that it will minimize diabetes? Because you're burning. You're burning. You're burning the calories. You're burning the sugar. You're burning. And so weightlifting and working out and exercising and aerobics and all that is good. Now, and aerobics, I mentioned that because when you're doing aerobics, you're using your body weight to move around. You're moving stuff. There are diving weights. Scuba divers, people that are diving, have weights on to help take them down. There are anchors. An anchor is something that stabilizes you. It's a good weight. Anchor above is our clothing line, and it's talking about Christ. Christ is our anchor. There are weights used for measuring to get a proper balance. And now, there are some weights that are iron. There are others that are rubber. There are some that cement, et cetera, you know, so on. And these issues, notice, are natural weights and can be properly or improperly used. And if they're improperly used, they're going to cause a strain or damage to you physically. And the same thing spiritually. Now, here are a few spiritual weights. Procrastination. I know I said it twice, but let me say it again. Procrastination, the delay or postponement of doing something. Now, I think in life that all of us have experienced that at one time or another, where we said, oh, I'll get to it later. And only to find out later was too late. Now, so that's Proverbs 6, 10. Procrastination. You know, I'm going to take a nap when you should be studying. Now, if you're super tired because you've been up studying, that's one thing. But if you just lounging, because sometimes our lounging is because, and our feeling tired is because we're not doing anything. Let's go back to the gym. Sometimes I'm not going to go to the gym, but then you do go for a walk, or you go to the gym, you do something physical, and now the blood is circulating and you don't feel the tiredness anymore. Well, sometimes the tiredness is because we are not active. Procrastination. We know we have to study. I was up early this morning. I had read a few pages in my science book and was studying, and I had taken notes, and apparently I forgot to save it. I didn't have it on autosave. I didn't click save. I shut everything down, went to get some tires because I was riding on sleds, so I needed some new shoes. And I lost all of the notes that I had taken. So now I got to go back through and do it all over again. But procrastination will cause you not to do anything. And so I remember quite a bit of what I had written down, and I know where to find it at. And so it won't be as challenging as it was prior. Another weight, spiritual weight, is the flesh. Ephesians 5 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ have also loved us, and have given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior." But fornication, a weight; uncleanliness, a weight; covetousness, a weight. "Let it not once be named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, a weight, nor foolish jet talking, a weight, nor jesting, a weight, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." So the flesh, catering to the flesh in these areas becomes weight. Deception is a weight. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, many people are hearing the word, but they're not doing the word. If you have an excuse, you're no different than anyone else. There's an analogy about what an excuse is, but let's just say that it's not good. Excuses don't make it right. Excuses do not justify procrastination. Excuses do not justify actions of the flesh that cause corruption and disruption and break up homes and marriages and losing jobs and all this. No. Excuses don't no, it don't. It don't help. It don't help at all. What excuses are you holding on to? Because those are weights. Listen, deception. Deceiving our own selves. Hearers only, but deceiving ourselves because we're not doing it. "For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or beholding himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is." Now, these are only a few weights that I've mentioned. And when I have time, Lord say the same, I'll post a list of weights. But I think you can figure this out on your own. I think you can do that. You can do that. I think any of us that have some common sense know when something is going to prevent us or stop our forward progress. Now, immediate gratification is on the list. If we're honest, each one of us have demanded some form of immediate gratification one time or another. Maybe before you met the Lord, it could have been after you met him, but demanding some form of immediate gratification can be a weight. Now, I called for a doctor appointment one time, and I was describing to the doctor what the issue was. It was a tag, and I wanted the tag removed, skin tag. And the doctor said, "Well, that's not an urgent issue." Well, to me, it was because I found it very irritating. And it was the wording that I used that caused them to say, "Come on in for an immediate appointment so you can have immediate gratification." And so they froze the skin tag, they removed it, and wow, voila. But there are other immediate gratifications that are not to our advantage. All right, so the end of those immediate gratifications that are not to our advantage creates a dilemma, creates a predicament, it creates a catch-22. Some form of impasse, meaning it becomes a situation in which no progress is possible. The Bible says in Genesis, the 25th chapter, Genesis, the 25th chapter, we're going to start here. Let's look at the 21st verse. It says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated by him." And that's important. That's important. We want to entreat the Lord. We want to treat him for what our needs are. And I know earlier I asked that when we go into this consecration, that you not ask for anything. Let's entreat him for being sovereign in our lives. And everything else will fall in place. Let's entreat him for that. You know, the greatest thing you can have is wisdom. The Bible said that in all you're getting, get an understanding. And so you need an understanding and you need wisdom to use what you've now received, that understanding. And it takes us a long ways compared to just having substance. Substance without understanding and without wisdom is not the same. But let's go on here. She was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? If I'm now pregnant and God, you have blessed me to in this, why am I having so many problems? This is what she was asking. And so she went and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. So she was having twins, and the Lord explained to her that there's going to be some controversy. There's going to be some issues that occur because one is going to be stronger than the other, and they're going to be of two different opinions. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. And so it's interesting to note that as the twins, as they were being pulled out, Jacob reached up. There's a conscious awareness that is going on there. Whether he was led of the Lord, but he grabbed hold to Esau's heel and came into the world holding on to his brother. The Bible says, the 27th verse, and the boys grew. They grew. So Esau is only older because of the fact that he exited the womb first. But he became, as the boys grew, he became a cunning hunter and a man of the field. So he was an outdoorsman. Some of you are outdoorsmen. And he dwelt in, whereas Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents, meaning that he chilled at home. He wasn't out all over the place playing in the dirt. He wasn't a dirt goblin. He was at home chilling. Whatever he was doing at home, he was not like Esau. And Isaac loved Esau. He loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, venison is a deer meat. And from my understanding, it's really good. You know, people, I don't hear or know of anyone selling that here in California, in Southern Cal, but I hear about it on the East Coast, down south, where visitors, friends have gone to visit, and they was telling me how they had cooked a great meal and then included venison. All right. And so the Bible tells us that Isaac loved Esau. That was his boy. That was his boy. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, this can go either way. Sometimes the son wants to lean and learn from mom, and so he does, just like daughters. Then there is the sons and or daughters that cleave to their dad. And this don't make them a tomboy. It don't make them a tomboy at all. And so they cleave to their dad. They mirror certain characteristics such as cooking, sewing, or getting, or they cleaving inside, they might be getting their hands dirty. Now, my sister and I both can cut patterns and sew. My mom did that. My sister's older than I am. I'm the third child, and she's the second. And we both know how to sew. We both know how to run a sewing machine. I used to sew athletic wear. And my mom never trained me. I just watched her and knew what she was doing. And so I picked it up and I ran with it. I also built an engine by reading a book. The car had broke down, had a 1974 Datsun B210, and the head gaskets blew. That's a little four-cylinder car. And the head gaskets blew, inline four-cylinder. So didn't know what to do about it. Didn't have the money to get it fixed. Young and dumb, you know, in my life. And so, and I can say that because I look back and say, wow. But it's too late. You'll never regain that time. But I didn't have the money to fix the car. So I said to myself that the mechanics have to follow a guideline. There must be schematics. There must be a book or something that can be used to do this. So I went to Pep Boys and I browsed through their books and I found a book that I could read and understand. And I rebuilt that engine by reading a book and asking questions. I was always asking a question to someone that I knew that was not, didn't get irritated. They answered the questions for me, gave me tools, let me use their wrenches and everything so that I could rebuild that engine. So that was, and I found out how valuable reading is. And so even today, I read a lot. They will tell you that you'll find me, if I'm not doing anything else, you'll find me with a book or you'll find a book near me. Esau was a hunter and cooked. He knew how to handle deer meat and his dad loved it. His dad loved it. So whatever he was doing, you know, whatever herbs he was using, he may have learned how to hunt from his dad and may have learned how to cook the meat from his mom. Or maybe his dad knew how to cook it too. But he took the knowledge that he had to another level and to the extent that his dad really loved the way he fixed it. And so Jacob was his mother's boy. She took him. He cleaved her and cleaved to him. And so now, would she have done this if they had a daughter? We don't know because they didn't. She didn't. But maybe you dads or papas, maybe you have a grandson and you have to pry that grandson from his mother's arms, and so he would not be spoiled. I know because I have a 10-year-old grandson and I've had to figure out how to pry him away from his mom's arms. And she's loosened the grip. So, all right. Maybe you've experienced that too, or you know someone else that has. Males need what I call boy time. So when we're together, we talk about stuff and we carry on and we have mannerism and other things that are covered that my daughter, in her frustration, called a boy thing. And so sometimes when she's like, well, they're acting a certain way, it's like, well, then, you know, that's fine. They're boys. Leave them alone. So I do also run interference for them, too. But one is, the oldest one is one that loves to hang with his papa and his dad and you know, and will talk about things that he is not going to talk about with his mom. Whereas the younger one, he's coming around and learning that there are some things we talk about you don't repeat. You don't repeat to anyone. It's something that we're going to talk about as men. And that's what we refer to ourselves as men. That boy time is man time. The Bible says in Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint, Therefore was his name called Edom. Now Jacob is home throwing down on some stew or soup. Now, I had soup for dinner this evening. That's what I chose to have. And he's throwing down on that. Now, I recall my mom making stew, boiling. She would go in and get to what she called stew meat and boil it down and then add her vegetables and everything to it and let it all simmer and tomato sauce and all that she was adding to it, you know. And my mom became a what you call a herbalist. For health reasons, she learned to cook with herbs. She didn't use seasonings and different things like that. And you could smell the herbs as you were getting closer to the house. And it was attractive. The aroma of the herbs filled the air, and it was so good. It didn't matter if she was frying, if she was boiling, if she was broiling, or the meat was raw, because she was preparing it to go into the oven or something. Ah, the herbs, I'm telling you. And I held on to that book. I have her herb book here with me. And so that's what the kind of cook that she became. She used herbs like they did in the days of old. And so maybe Jacob also had some cake, you know, in front of the oven. They would use the floor as a way of making what we call a pan cake today, you know, stovetop cornbread. You know, they have different terms for it. But Esau returned from hunting. Now, the Bible did not say that the hunt was prosperous, and it didn't say it wasn't. Just that Esau claimed to be famished and depleted of energy, and that he could have been, it could have been from him having a successful hunt and then having to drag it or carry it back home. He was tired. And so he complained about being faint. But faint doesn't mean that you're dying. If he had passed out and slept a while, he would have been woke. He would have woke up and been all right, maybe hungry, maybe a little thirsty, but he wasn't about to die. But there's more going on here in his psychic community than meets the eye. There's something else going on here with him. And usually it's the same with us. Something else is going on with us. Now, we might claim one thing, but when you narrow it down and you get to the core of it, it may identify that there's something else. What is happening in the mind of Esau? Apparently, his brother Jacob made some type of observation. And so he understood that there's something going on with his brother. You know, there's something in their history that has been identified. He saw something. And so he made note of it. What is it that people are making note about you? What is it that you're displaying? We all have some tales that we're not telling verbally all the time. Sometimes it's just in our demeanor, it's in our actions that we're sending signals and we're telling things. If you watch and or listen carefully to people, they're telling you something. It could be in their body language. It could be in their eye contact. It could be in their tone of voice or a lack of tone in the voice. It can be a lack of interest. These things exist. They exist in procrastination. They exist in self-deception. They exist in the flesh. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Now, I kind of have a rough time here that this just came out the blue. I personally, and this is my personal thought of this, is that something has been illustrated, something has been said, something has determined and has given Jacob reason to make this request to sell me your birthright. Esau's asking satisfies flesh. He wants immediate gratification. And this is a weight to him. This is burdening him down. He wants immediate, he's demanding. He's demanding it. Be careful what you demand for. You don't know what cost is going to come at. This is going to come back and bite him. The decision we make today, regardless of how innocent it appears to be, can have a tremendous impact tomorrow. Esau's desire for immediate gratification caused him to hate what something that was even more important. The Bible says that he hated it, and we'll see that shortly here. It caused him to despise it. He would have eventually recovered from the tiredness, from feeling faint, then asked for something to eat or make it himself. Or maybe it would have been something that would have been offered to him. He never waited to see. He just came in demanding what he wanted. He wanted immediate gratification. And that was a weight in itself. And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point of death. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And he chirping. First, he's not getting ready to die. He's not. But look at his disregard for the entire conversation. He didn't stop Jacob and say, "Hey, man, wait a minute. Hold on here." There's a total disregard. What's going on in this man's mind that he would say, what does that even have to do with me? I'm so famished, I could die right now. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Have you sold out? Are you selling out to God, or are you selling out to something else? Because sometimes we sell out. You know, let's look at it this way. We on a small scale, we'll buy something that we know we can't afford. For what reason? To impress? Because we think we have to have it in that moment. We're selling out when we could have held on to what we had. Esau could have held on and just chilled and rejuvenated, but he didn't. And so he was requested to give up his birthright, and he didn't even think about it. He just did it. He sold his birthright to his brother for what? Some meat? For some soup? Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. See? There wasn't nothing wrong with him. He was, look at this. Nothing is wrong with him. He ate. If he was so faint to die, listen, let's look at babies. The baby wake up crying, wham, wham, wham. And you get a baby a bottle, and the baby takes a few sips and go to sleep with the bottle in his mouth, and you have to ring with a bottle. How many times have you yourself been super tired, and you thought you wanted to try to eat something, and you may have even attempted to take a bite, but you wanted to go to sleep? What about when your kids are in the car with you and they complain about how tired they are, so you grab them a burger and they didn't even finish it because they nodded off before they could? Fries are cold. The burger is now took a bite off of it. You know, and you notice how quiet it got in the car, and that was it. Jacob gave Esau the bread, gave him some soup, and he ate it, he drank, and rose up and went his way. So he wasn't too tired. And he despised his birthright. He despised it. The very thing you claim not to care about today, whether it's a person, a place, or a thing, you may need it tomorrow. So think twice. Matter of fact, think a few times. Take a little while. Take a day. And think about what you're about to do before you do it. What he hates now, because he despises his birthright, what he hates right now, what he's despising right now, he's going to beg for later. It's going to make him cry. No different than you and I when we look back at some things that we may have did or did not say. or did not do when we had an opportunity to do it, it made us feel bad. We regretted it. Now, for people that like to say, I don't regret anything, and I have no regrets. Really? Yeah, what I went through made me who I am. Really? And so there's no regrets about anything you ever done? You know, repentance is something means that we regret it. Repentance is, just keeping it in its basic form. Repentance means I regret the action that I did. Repentance means that the way I was thinking, I regret the way I was thinking. That was very offensive. I regret what I said. That was not right. I shouldn't have did that. I should have seasoned my words with grace. And so these things that we grab hold to and lean on and cliches that we hear other people say, no, don't do that. True, what you may have gone through have taught you a lesson, but it doesn't mean that you had to go through that to learn the lesson. Esau did not have to go through what he did to learn the lesson, but God had already spoken what was going to transpire in his life and what was going to transpire in Jacob's life. Well, I'm going to stop right there. And my prayer is that you have received of the word of God. You know, I want to thank God for those that are listening. I realize that the time difference, sometimes I sit down and look at the time differences of different areas. And I know that there are those that are listening. Some even get up at a certain hour. Others are listening because they're working what we call a graveyard shift, and so they're available to listen. Thank God for each of you that have tuned in. And listen, while it's on my mind, if you visit our website, connectingtruth.org, leave us a testimony of what God is doing for you. When we have our Pentecost service, we want to print that into our service literature as well, as far as how the Lord has blessed you. So again, connectingtruth.org, and give us your testimony of how the Lord is blessing you, or what you may have learned or heard on the program, connectingtruth.org. And so with that being said, God bless you. Thank you for joining Inside the Pages. Let's have a word of prayer and be blessed. Be blessed. So those that are just coming in, I want you to let me say this again. We are consecrating May 1st. There's plenty of time to get mentally prepared. May 1st through May 30th. And during this consecration, asking that you do not eat any meat, fried, baked, broiled, boiled, or raw. Don't eat no meat. Everyone in your house should be on the consecration. And if you have a husband or a wife that is not saved and they choose not to join the consecration, fix them a good meal, but you consecrate and use wisdom to entreat them. I'm totally against beating anyone up with the word of God, using it as a hammer, trying to make someone do so. No. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. So you ought to be sweeter than pie. And maybe they will a day or two. Maybe they will an entire time. Who knows? But we want to entreat the Lord. And during this consecration, we're not asking the Lord to bless us with money. We're not asking them to bless us with a honey or a house or a car. No. We're seeking him and entreating him as God. Now, the reason I say that is because when Daniel and others entreated the Lord, they didn't ask for things. They entreated him as being God. As being God. That's all. And the Lord met them and met their needs. So you don't have to do that. You don't have to ask for things. Let's treat him as God. He knows what we have need of. And that's all. That's each of us. Each of us have certain needs and things and desires in our hearts. The Bible says if a man waits, please the Lord, he'll give him the desires of his heart. So everything is not going to come by you asking. Some things, let's just entreat him for being sovereign in our lives. Let's entreat him. And so he knows what we have need of. He knows what your household has need of. And so let's all just line up, if you will, willingly line up with this request to consecrate during that time. And so, as I said earlier, you know, that means if you're going to cook a meal, make some mac and cheese, dressing, greens, cranberry, yams, and all, but gravy for the dressing, but just don't make any meat to go with it. Don't make any meat. If you're going to have pizza, just make it a veggie lover and not a meat lover. And let's magnify the Lord and seek him for who he is and what, and that's it. He's sovereign in our lives. He's sovereign in our lives. And, you know, and so we want God to bless us. We used to sing a song, "Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied." But I'm telling you that there's more to it than that. So let's consecrate unto the Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you and honor you this evening, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Lord. And we ask that you would bless us to be careful for nothing. Lord, sometimes we want immediate gratification. We complain about what we have desires of and different things. But we also realize that immediate gratification can cause trouble. We can wind up with things that we really don't want. It can be a headache. It can be troublesome. Lord, bless us to be wise in our decision making and our requests. Help us, Lord God, to seek you, Lord, first, ask your opinion. Lord Jesus, thank you for your kindness. And we thank you for your grace, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us to know and understand the lesson that has been taught this evening, Lord God, that immediate gratification can also become a weight in our lives that slows us down. Lord, thank you for the examples that you've given us, the example of Jacob, the example of Esau, Lord God, and we just pray and ask that you would help us, Lord, to meditate in your word and to think about those things. You said that if we meditate in your word, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. And our leaf also would not wither, and whatever we do would prosper. I pray for the prosperity of the people, Lord God. I ask that you would bless them, those that are rising up as they go through their day, those that are retiring for the evening. I ask that you would bless them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, let your peace be with them. In Jesus' name,